Hello and welcome to Podcast of S.H.I.E.L.D. This week it's just me, Crystal Bailey. My co-host Kevin Taylor is out in Germany at Oktoberfest, which I'm super jealous about, but what can you do? I'm not there. I'm here watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and kicking butt at Screen Invasion as per usual. So this week I'm going to dig into The Asset, the third episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I gotta say, I think it was the best episode so far. I mean, you know, three isn't exactly a large pool, but it does seem to be hitting its stride and getting in the direction that we all kind of hoped it would be going. And yeah, so it's pretty promising. So let's first start out with the weak links, the not so great moments. For one, Agent Ward is still kind of the blandest of the bland. He had some moments and some insights. You know, he had his combat training with Sky where he opened up about his family life. But, I mean, even that was kind of a snooze fest. Hopefully, as things progress, we'll get more into the meat of that character and actually make him interesting. Because right now, out of the entire team, I gotta say, he's the most boring one. And he's getting like third billing right now, you know, with Coulson, Sky, and then him. So if he's gonna be that priority, he's gotta bring it. But just under him, you know, is Melinda May, and she is my favorite part of this series so far. And so in that aspect, this episode was really disappointing. You know, last week was talking about the cavalry. We got to see her fighting skills. And this week, she basically just sat behind at, like, Command Central and didn't really do anything. So that was disappointing. However, at least now that she is fully on board and saying how she's, like, she's ready to get back in the field and she's going to be fighting along Coulson's side, that makes it a lot more promising for the rest of the season, because now, instead of reluctantly getting dragged into all these field ops, she's going to be, like, volunteering for them, not, you know, going, she's going to be the first string, the A-team, and I think that's very promising. Another disappointment for me was how they went on this whole, like, segment about how they can't get into this party, there's no way they could do this because this country, you know, it would be breaking all these international laws, they can't go in as S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson even talks about how they, you know, have to go in, you know, without any backup, and if anything happens, S.H.I.E.L.D. won't help them. But then, you know, stuff happens, and there were no repercussions for them. They made this whole big deal about it, and then at the end of the episode, it's just like, cool, well done, team, and they're off. I feel like if there was a time to bring in Nick Fury, this would have been a more appropriate, you know, segment, because the last time it was just like, oh, you blew up a plane, shame on you. This time it's breaking international laws, making villains with, like, businessmen and everything. I feel like this, while maybe not as financially painful to S.H.I.E.L.D., is a bad PR move. It, you know, it had a lot more serious problems with it than just a broken plane. But I mean, you can't bring in Samuel L. Jackson every week, so I guess they got to pick and choose. I just personally think they probably chose wrong in terms of, like, the severity on what he's going to be mad about them for. But what can you do? And then, you know, the big thing this week was Graviton, Dr. Hall. This is the birth of a supervillain, which I'm so glad that they're bringing in a villain that, you know, is going to last more than one episode. However, I don't know if this is going to be a season-long arc or maybe just, you know, five episodes. I feel like if it's a season-long arc, it might be too soon to have it be him. Because, you know, this is episode three. The show is going to go on for 22 episodes, unless ABC decides to have it go only for 13, kind of like how Fox did with Sleepy Hollow. But, I mean, more likely than not, it's going to be 22, and in which case, you're going to have 19 episodes with the same villain kind of mentioned. Yeah, so hopefully it's either he lies dormant in that vault for a while and he'll come back after a few episodes, or maybe he comes back next week and is only in a handful of episodes before another arc comes along. Just because I personally think 19 episodes for one villain might be a little much, especially if the audience, for one reason or other, doesn't connect with him, or if like the matchup doesn't seem even, then it's just gonna be frustrating to the viewers on like, how is it that he is surviving this long, or how is it that he hasn't squashed Shield already, you know, if he's so powerful. So it's a balancing act that I think they're gonna have to figure out over at ABC and Marvel. And then also with Graviton and Dr. Hall, the big fight scene with him and Coulson, which the gravity like field and all of it changing and that stuff was awesome. I thought they did a really great job of that. But in the end, his message of how the Graviton machine needed to be destroyed instead of giving it to Shield, I don't think they wanted the audience to agree with him, but you totally see his point. I personally totally thought he was right. He even mentioned how it was because of Shield tampering with the Tesseract that the alien invasion happened. You know, by messing with that technology, they summoned a galactic war essentially upon Earth. And now Coulson is saying like, oh, don't worry, that was our bad, but it won't happen again with any of our technology that we get, which is a little off-putting. So I did agree with Graviton and Dr. Hall on that. So I feel like this is a problem I mentioned earlier, where they need to make sure that the villain and the good guys are equal in power and also both equally right, or you can see the side of both of them. But right now, I kind of only agree with Dr. Hall, and having the Graviton machine in a vault, like Indiana Jones style, where it's not labeled and it's just like hidden, I don't really see how that's any better than what Hall was suggesting. So hopefully that's something they can work on in future storylines with villains, because it is like the crux of quality drama, where you can agree with both sides. And so even though there is a clear villain and a clear hero, you need to agree with their motivations behind it and their thought process behind it. So hopefully they can work on that. But yeah, I mean, other than those things, like that was the disappointing stuff. I thought everything else was pretty fantastic. Like I said, that this is the best episode out of the three so far. The opening scene with the semi truck and the SUVs was fantastic. Special effects work for television. Most of it was great. Like the fire, I could have done without. We didn't need to see the SUV on fire with CGI, like obviously use CGI flames. I think it would have been looked a little more realistic, but that's like nitpicking at this point. I mean, it was really well done overall. And I also love that the episode title is called The Asset. And while it could refer to the Gravitonium and the little prototype and the machine, it really refers to Skye and her skill set and her being on the team. You know, like Coulson in the very first episode referred to her as an asset, and then again she was referred to as an asset, I believe, either this episode or the last episode. And you know, this was her time to shine and fully commit to the team, which she did. And you knew she wasn't gonna turn on Shield this early. I mean, this is still their origin story. They're still coming together. If she turned on them now, that character would have to be written out of the show, basically. If that, like, you know, she would turn on them, like they'd have to go after her, and she'd get arrested. She'd end up in a vault. Who knows? But by having her join the team now and fully commit, you know, maybe down the road, this season or in future seasons, that's when she could have like a real crisis of like ideals and ideology, and maybe then she'll actually truly go back to rising tide or turn on the team, and that'll be way more dramatic and way more interesting. Because right now, I mean, that was a good moment, the way that she played on the millionaire, but you knew she was going to eventually use that little compact thing and they would get in and everything would be hunky-dory. What else did I like from the episode? Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, the gravity effect during the big battle was great. I love the way they played with it. It kind of reminded me of, like, you know, a low-budget Inception with Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the hallway, like that type of scene. It kind of reminded me of that, the way they played with it and how one second the floor is the ceiling and the way he poured the bottle and it, you know, the gravity was all messed up and it was like a sideways pour. That was kind of fun. So yeah, those were just neat tricks they kind of did that I really liked. Yeah, and then the other thing overall is I'm just excited for Melinda May to be a bigger part of it. She had that line about, you know, last time you did that, you died, where nobody else heard her, of course, except for us. But it does make me wonder how much she knows about Coulson and his situation. I mean, before this, she was, like, in administration, so she probably doesn't know much. But at the same time, she was the Calvary. She's this legend within the field and within S.H.I.E.L.D. So she might know. She might have insight into, you know, how he's still around, how he lives, if he is a clone or a life model decoy or just him. Who knows? We don't know what she knows. We don't know what the right answer is. But it is exciting that she is in the know on something and that, again, she's going to be a bigger part of the field missions moving forward because she's so badass, guys. She is literally, like, my favorite part of the show right now. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. And we saw in the clip for next week that the Red Mask guys are coming in. This is the one that they shot in Sweden, which when I heard that, I was like, how are they affording this? How can they pay for all these location shoots and crazy special effects? I guess we'll see if they keep it up, you know, now that the ratings are coming in and advertising dollars are coming in or not coming in to their levels. Who knows? We'll see if this level of budget remains the same. But it looked like a good episode for next week. We've got the agent who could be mind-controlled or could be a traitor. We've got the Red Mask guys who we don't know anything about them. And, yeah, it all looks promising. I'm really liking the direction it's headed. You know, the things are falling into place. It seems like the show's, you know, picking up steam. And like I said, you know, Joss Whedon's not exactly known for his beginnings. And Joss Whedon's team as well. If you look at any of his shows, the only one that really started off fantastic was Firefly, which sadly everyone knows that story. But every other show he's worked on, you know, had some growing pains, had to figure it out first. It took Buffy till season 2. It took Dollhouse till episode 6. It took Angel till like episode 10, maybe even season 2, depending on what you were a fan of on that show. So yeah, like I said, it's not going to be great right now, most likely, given his track record, but the potential for greatness is definitely there, and we're starting to see some of that each week. Each week there's hints and improvement and everything, so I am optimistic about the future of this show in terms of quality. I think the ratings are fine, so I don't think it's going to get canceled. But it's definitely disappointing to ABC because I'm sure we're expecting this mega hit that it's sadly not yet so far. I mean, maybe it is when you factor in all of the people who watch it on ABC.com and Hulu and DVR and live. But right now, just off the live ratings, I know they are disappointed. But it's fine, and it's going to stick around for a while and hopefully improve as, you know, the show improves and word of mouth goes along with that, that people are like, oh, yeah, you should check it out. You know, episode 1, 2 weren't great, but episode 5 is amazing or something like that. Hopefully. We can hope. As a Joss Whedon, Marvel, diehard fan, that's what I'm hoping for at least. But, yeah, so thanks so much for listening to me. It's kind of weird to just podcast by myself, but given my, like, short time frame of recording and like East Coast, West Coast time difference. It was really hard for me to find a co-host for this week. So hopefully by next week, I'll be back with my regular co-host, Kevin Taylor. Maybe we'll have a guest host by then too. So definitely stay tuned. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Crystal_Bailey. You can follow all of the Invasion Radio podcast on Twitter at Invasion Radio. And be sure to follow Screen Invasion as well for all of your entertainment, pop culture news and reviews. And that's at Screen Invasion. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And I hope you tune in next week. Thanks.